Good morning. It is time to get up with America's favorite game. Today is a very important date in the football timeline. You'll hear why from Shefty right off the top. Then, maybe the greatest Hall of Fame class ever. Don't miss Charles Barkley live with us this morning on Kobe and Company. And Mick Shea in this hour with his list of players in this draft who will remind us of stars like this one. Let's do this. It's time to get up, starting right now on a Monday from Bristol. Mike Greenberg here, and thank you for being there. Thank you for getting up with us, and first, foremost, and forever, thank you to all the medical professionals and first responders who are working so hard, so bravely, to keep us safe and keep us healthy. And this program is for you, and if it helps you get 10, 15 minutes of relaxation and things off your mind, then it was well worth the effort. And we begin with Get Up and Go because it was a busy sports weekend. Here's where it starts. Sources tell our Adam Schefter over the weekend that high-level officials from multiple NFL teams are now preparing to conduct the NFL draft from home and not at their team facilities. The draft is scheduled to begin April 23rd. That's 2 weeks from Thursday. How about this night last night for Gronk? Rob Gronkowski picked up his first wrestling title at WrestleMania 36 last night. He is the WWE 24/7 champion. We'll explain and have moments from this a little later in the show. Elsewhere, UFC 249 still scheduled for April 18th. It appears the UFC is very close to securing a new venue for the event. Most likely, that will be on the West Coast. We'll keep you posted. Over the weekend, the 2020 Basketball Hall of Fame class was announced. All eight finalists were selected, headlined, of course, by the great Kobe Bryant, who was joined in this class by, among others, Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. You would be hard-pressed to find a more decorated trio of players to be enshrined in any single year, and you see on your screen here what an extraordinary group this is, and we will have Charles Barkley later this morning talking about it here on Get Up. Back to the NFL. Speaking on a conference call with Major League Sports commissioners on Saturday, President Trump said he believes the NFL season should start on time. He said he hopes to have fans back by August and September. California Governor Gavin Newsom later said, quote, "I'm not anticipating that happening in this state." Now, Adam Schefter tweeted this morning, just in the last hour or so, the following. Today would have been the start of off-season workouts for teams with new head coaches. So Mike McCarthy in Dallas, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, Joe Judge in New York, Matt Rhule in Carolina, Ron Rivera in Washington. Only virtual off-season work now. So essentially today is the first day that there's actual on-field action that is being missed. And so for more, let's bring in Dan Graziano, our NFL insider extraordinaire. Dan, what are you hearing after this call with the president this weekend and everything else about the NFL's plans going forward?
Well, let's focus on the offseason. First of all, you mentioned that it would have been the start of offseason programs for teams with new head coaches as early as today. Those plans are on hold. Obviously, the league and the Players Association are discussing what the offseason work rules will be in a situation where players can't go to team facilities. At this point, they would have been able to work out with strength and conditioning coaches, would have been able to sit in meetings, etc. Can't do any of that. I heard from a league spokesman last night who told me, quote, "We anticipate having a decision about the timing and content of the off-season program early this week." So sometime early this week, teams will have the rules for what they can do in terms of communicating with their players, getting them playbooks, having virtual meetings, etc. So that's all being worked out now in terms of the off season. So far, this isn't a week where people would miss any significant work, so there's no rush to get that decision made, but they should have it in the next couple of days. And in terms of projecting out to the regular season, look, not much has changed since last week. The NFL is of the hope and the optimistic belief that it can have its season as scheduled, but really nobody knows at this point because so much depends on what happens in the coming weeks and months in terms of the situation in the world at large.
All right, Graziano, we'll check back with you. Thank you. Meanwhile, here's who else I have for you today talking football, Dan Orlovsky and the big swagoo, Marcus Spears. It is great to see you guys. Hope you had a good weekend. Danny, I'll start with you. As you hear this conversation, football, the idea that perhaps football will be back in September, and we know that as of now, the teams with new coaches are missing work. What are your overriding thoughts?
Grinny, I'm a lot like you. I choose to be optimistic about this, even though it's April 6th. And I think the reality is this. Great leaders always have plans. And the NFL is full of great leaders. So listen, if the NFL starts on time, that's great. We know how to do that. But the leadership of the NFL needs to have multiple plans that are ready to enact. Maybe a variables change. Maybe there are no fans. Or maybe it's a shortened time frame. Or maybe it starts later. They need to have all those plans in place and be ready to react accordingly. And Grinny, I'll be honest with you, man. If we get football in any capacity in September, I'll be thankful for that, because the reality would be this. That means that we're in a better place then than we are now, and I'll be thankful for that.
Yeah, for sure. So, Agu, put yourself in the position of being an active player right now. What do you imagine the players are thinking now and going through and dealing with as they try to figure out exactly what their future looks like?
Well, you know, the word obviously is optimistic, G, but I believe this is a moving date. But I think, it, like Dan said, in leadership, you want to give a good headspace. You want to give hope that the football season is here, because not only does it represent football, it represents normalcy. That's what people are trying to get back to. So football has always presented us with an opportunity to break away from the realistic things that happen in life. But when we look at this situation, that could obviously affect there being football and get rid of those things that we've been able to get away from for so many years because football is being played, is in jeopardy per se. But I'm with you guys. I choose to be optimistic, but I know that this is a moving date, and I know no one truly knows if the football season will start on time. But in some capacity, if we can get it, it will represent what normalcy is in this country at that time of the year. And I think everybody is looking forward to that with hope and needs that.
Absolutely. I want to make clear what I mean by optimism. Listen, I'm not unrealistic and I'm not Pollyannish, but it doesn't cost anything to root for the best. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to root for the best. I don't have access to any information
Absolutely.
Everyone else doesn't have. I'm going to root for the best. I'm going to hope that it works out well. But if you're the NFL or us or anybody else, you plan for all possible eventualities. We'll wait and see. Meanwhile, let's do some of the real football news here around the football. Let me get Graziano back in to run the hurry up a little bit. There was some late news from Kansas City. Dan, what's going on?
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs restructured the contract of wide receiver Sammy Watkins. He'll earn about $9 million this year as opposed to 14, though he can make another 7 in incentives. He gets a no-trade clause, which is big. He doesn't want them to move him. And the Chiefs save $5 million in cap space, which is also big, because prior to this move, the Chiefs had $177 in cap space. Not $177,000, $177. They absolutely needed to do something like this to clear cap room.
That's remarkable. How about a guy who's going to cost more than that? Jadeveon Clowney, what's the latest with him?
I would be surprised if there wasn't a Clowney deal done with some team this week. I know they want to get it done before the draft. He has multiple teams interested. We know that his price going into free agency was too high. It scared some teams off. So presuming that he's now at the point where he's closer to what teams want to offer, I still see Seattle as a possibility, Tennessee, maybe Cleveland. A lot of teams interested. I think there's a resolution on this coming soon.
Now, he's one of three number one overall picks who are free agents. Here's another, Cam Newton, who was officially released by the Panthers almost 2 weeks ago. There are not a lot of quarterback openings left where the former MVP could walk into a starting role, we would assume, next season. So, Dan, what are we hearing about the level of interest in Cam right now?
Frankly, Greeny, not very much. And I think at this point, Cam Newton is willing to wait until after the draft and see how the draft affects teams' quarterback situations. And maybe there's a situation where a team goes into the draft with a certain plan at quarterback and it doesn't fall the way they expect it to. And then they turn their attention to other options. And one of those options, obviously one of the better looking options at that point, would be Cam Newton. So I think his camp and he are patient right now. They want to wait out the market and see if it comes to them a little bit, because right now, as we've discussed, he has that foot injury. No one can bring him in for a physical. A lot of questions about the health of Cam Newton, and I think this could take a while before he finds a new team.
Yeah, there's probably no active player in the NFL being more impacted by the circumstances under which we are living right now than Cam is relative to that opportunity to find a new team. So meanwhile, we had Warren Moon on, or I should say First Take had Warren Moon on last week. And he explained why he thinks Cam will have and is having a hard time catching on to a backup role. This was interesting. Here's what Warren Moon said.
He's not a guy I don't see going somewhere where he can be a backup. He still brings a lot to the table if he's healthy. The thing that concerns me is his, you know, his personality. He's a big time personality. He brings a lot to the table when he comes to a team. And there's some teams that probably could deal with that, and there are other teams that don't want their leader to be that type of personality. So that's where he's going to find the problem in trying to find another home.
That was interesting. Marcus Spears, what do you think?
Warren is right. Cam is a different beast, man, and he brings a lot with him, like Warren Moon said. Teams may not want a polarizing quarterback. Cam is polarizing. Cam dresses different. His attitude and approach to the game is brash and outlandish, which I think makes Cam Newton great, which I think is one of his best qualities, is his attitude when he plays the game. I've had a chance to play across the line of scrimmage from Cam Newton, and I know that the team that Cam Newton has played for, the Carolina Panthers, for so many years, fed off of what Cam brings to the game. So Warren Moon is not wrong. Some teams may not want that. Some teams' direction as far as having Cam Newton in the building and everything that comes with him, as far as his polarizing personality, the things that he does and says, they may not want that. But I know they want the football player that Cam is. And if they want the football player that Cam is, they're going to have to let Cam be Cam, because that's what makes him great.
Danny?
Yeah, but let's not pretend that that's, you know, Cam Newton's biggest issue right now. I mean, Cam Newton's biggest issue is 18 months ago, he suffered a shoulder injury. And we haven't seen Cam, nor has any team seen Cam be healthy since that. And because of the climate that we're in, no team can prove otherwise. But let's not, like, can we not do the whole quarterback personality thing tied to Cam Newton? Again, I mean, did not Ron Rivera prove that you can allow a guy to be himself and he can be an MVP player in this league and he can lead you to a Super Bowl? I mean, that's exactly what Cam did. So I don't believe that there's teams sitting there going, man, we actually believe that Cam Newton's healthy, but I don't really like his personality. He can help our football team, but I don't think his personality meshes with our football team. Here's the reality. Expectations. Expectations are predetermined resentments. And what are Cam Newton's expectations, both financially and role-wise? Because he's got three options. His expectations could be multiple year contract and a starting job. His expectations could be a single year contract that's fair value and the opportunity to compete for a job. And if he loses that competition, then he is the backup, or no expectations at all. But as long as the team is transparent and Cam is transparent, then they will have no form of resentment. And that's his biggest hurdle right now, is what are those expectations?
Here's the part that I find the most interesting. I don't disagree with anything either of you said, but Swagoo, could I just throw this at you? A lot of teams, I think, whether you like or don't like Cam's large personality, might be willing to deal with it if he was going to be your starting quarterback. But if you're projecting him potentially to be your backup, do you need to, quote unquote, deal with that for a guy that you're not even projecting to be your starting quarterback?
No, G, you don't need to deal with that. But that's not in a negative way. I've been on a show with a guy named Tim Tebow for 5 years that teams didn't want to bring him in, partly because of what came with Tim Tebow being on your team. Like, this is not a negative for Cam, but to sit here in reality and act like some teams wouldn't want Cam Newton because of what he brings to the table is crazy to me. Maybe the league has changed that much. Maybe you have some owners and some general managers that are saying, no matter what, we're going to bring Cam Newton in because he can play football. And he'll start at some point. I think we all are of that narrative. But to think that teams won't bring in the thought process of what Cam is outside of football is crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Again, all I'm saying is, if you feel, and Tebow's not a bad example of this, if you feel like it's going to take up a lot of your energy,
no, it
may not be worth dealing with if you don't think he's going to be your starter. We'll talk more about this as we go. We're just getting started on this Monday here as we get up with you. Coming up, Tampa Bay's gain is New England's loss. But just how bare is the cupboard in Foxborough with Tom Brady's departure? We have a close look. And then, if you want to see what sports will look like when they return, we have a blueprint. It's video, and you'll see it as we continue this hour of Get Up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are back on Get Up, and today is day 26 of the NBA hiatus as the U.S. continues to battle the spread of the coronavirus, and there is no concrete ending in sight. The question, and no one really wants to think about it, but we assume they are within the league offices, is could the league be preparing for the season to be completely canceled? Brian Windhorst has been covering all this so well for us, and he joins us now. Windy, what's the latest that you're hearing?
Greeny, I wish I had some better news, but the pessimism is really growing. The reality is taking hold, and it's really manifested itself in the talks that the owners are currently having with the players. And the reason they're talking is because they've got to decide to do with the salaries that they have coming due the rest of this calendar year. And the way the owners are negotiating, what they're asking for, is essentially to build a fund that would help shelter the losses for a lost season. I guess you could sum it up by saying they're preparing for the worst, hoping for the best. That doesn't mean that they're going to push the button and say cancel anytime soon, but it's very clear that from a financial standpoint, that's what they're looking at. And the talks that they're having with the players, Greeny, none of them are about restarting. They're all about dealing with the financial situation. It's really depressing. And the thing is, and I know that President Trump had a call with the commissioners over the weekend, I didn't hear anything out of that call. Maybe it was just kept secret about testing. I'm going to say this very clearly. Testing, testing, testing. Forget about fans and arenas. Forget about bubbles. The only way this is happening is with mass testing that is available, political free, where you don't have to worry about taking it away from somebody who needs it, and you can get quick results. Until there's testing, everything that we're talking about here is pie in the sky. Right. That's the reality that has shown us in Asia. That's the reality the NBA has.
And the reality is we don't really know when that will be. And I would like to say that while we have maintained an optimistic attitude here, we're not going to be unrealistic. If these are the facts, then these are the facts. What about the idea of alternative opportunities? We're talking about this horse thing that we're going to be showing on ESPN. Other ways that perhaps players could play some sort of tournament that might not involve all of the teams and all of the players, but some way of creating something that might create some entertainment. Do you know if any of that is being discussed?
Yeah, I mean, the horse thing, I think, is full steam ahead. And I got to tell you, between ESPN, Turner, the NBA, everybody is working very hard to figure out to have something to give the fans. Also, people want to have something to work on. The players want to have something to do. There is stuff happening across the world in sports right now, Greeny. Everybody is searching for answers. To give you a crazy example, the Premier League in England, they are considering moving their games, or at least a couple of teams have suggested moving the games to China, to play the games in China so that they could be seen on television. It's a real time of creativity, and we're going to see probably some cool stuff that happens out of this. But real games, I don't feel great about it right now.
All right. We will continue to monitor that, and we will bring you whatever the information is, wherever it may take us. Meanwhile, this weekend was a huge one for the world of basketball as the announcement was made of the 2020 Hall of Fame class, and sadly, that man will go in posthumously. Kobe Bryant leading the class, and his wife Vanessa had these thoughts over the weekend.
It's an incredible accomplishment and honor, and we're extremely proud of him. Obviously, we wish that he was here with us to celebrate, but it's definitely the peak of his NBA career, and every accomplishment that he had as an athlete was a stepping stone to be here. So we're incredibly proud of him, and there's some solace in knowing that he was probably going to be a part of the 2020 Hall of Fame class.
And the fact that he's going in posthumously is still in some ways almost impossible to believe. But, Wendy, what sorts of things are you hearing around the league as Kobe Bryant, amongst others, takes is obviously his rightful place in the Hall of Fame?
Well, Greeny, this was an exciting class for a while now. We knew that Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, and Kevin Garnett were all going to become eligible the same year. We anticipated them all getting in, and we're looking forward to maybe the greatest Hall of Fame class in league history. I mean, in 2009, you had Jordan, David Robinson, John Stockton. That was pretty impressive. You've had some other great years, but this was going to be a celebration of a complete era, a 20-year era of great basketball. And when I talked to Jerry Colangelo, who runs the Hall of Fame, shortly after Kobe passed, he really discussed how he hoped by August, when the sorrow could pass a little bit, that when the induction would happen, that it could be a true celebration of his career and that there could be some laughs and good memories and a real collegial atmosphere in that class. Now you wonder if they're going to be able to have an induction. So nothing will take away the fact that this class will be remembered, and I'm sure the Hall will do everything it possibly can to make the induction special and to celebrate the career of Kobe Bryant.
I hope so. And there were quite a few others in this class as well. It is genuinely one of the greatest Hall of Fame classes that we have ever had. All right, Wendy, great to have you. Thank you very much, as always. And we'll continue to lean on you for the latest on all this. Whatever the news is, we will bring it to you. If sometimes it's not that cheerful, that's just the way this is going to go. Meanwhile, this will be cheerful, we hope. Charles Barkley is going to join us. He and Jalen Rose will be live about an hour from now. We'll talk about this Hall of Fame class and a whole lot more. With the Hall of Famer, the great Charles Barkley, will join us live this morning. Don't miss it. Also coming here on Get Up, Bill Belichick has some decisions to make. Is Jarrett Stidham the starter, or is Tom Brady's heir coming from the draft? We'll answer that question next. Get Up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We are back on Get Up, and with Tom Brady now in Tampa Bay, the big question facing the league is, what does Bill Belichick really have left in New England? And the answer, candidly, is not that much.
See, they're going to be like everybody else. I don't think they realize how huge a loss this is going to be.
A roster that was the oldest in the NFL last season was not and still isn't overflowing with offensive talent. That was covered ad nauseum in the buildup to Tom Brady's departure.
The Patriots failed to support him, to give him the necessary people to allow him to play at the level that he's kind of has that self-expectation to play at.
Now, the question marks very much extend to the quarterback room, where as we speak, the occupants are Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Hoyer is 34 years old and is 1-12 in his last 13 starts. And then there's Stidham, who threw four passes as a rookie last year. Two completions for 14 yards and a pick six that got him benched in garbage time against the Jets when he came on in relief of Brady. All of that may put a lot of pressure on a defense that was number one in the league a year ago, but lost its leading sacker and tackler in Jamie Collins, as well as Kyle Van Noy, who led the team in pressures. Finally, the Patriots are also carrying $25 million in dead money on their cap, more than half of that from Brady's contract. So, even in a division he has long owned, and that still doesn't figure to be among the league's best, Bill Belichick may have to do his best coaching job ever to take this team as far as it went a season ago. I want to talk about the quarterback situation first and foremost. Graziano is back with me. What are your expectations as far as Bill's plans at quarterback?
I think my expectation is that they will evolve throughout the offseason as he sees what happens with the market. You mentioned that dead money, $13.5 million in dead money for Tom Brady. That's not going anywhere. Right now they have a $14.8 million cap hit for Joe Thuney, the guard that they franchised. That's not going anywhere unless they can restructure the contract. What do you do? They like Jarrett Stidham. They'll give him a shot to win the job if they don't add anybody else. But it's possible they add someone else. It's possible that the price on Jameis Winston or Cam Newton gets to a point that they feel feel good about. It's possible that they draft someone early in the draft here in a couple of weeks. Belichick's only ever drafted one quarterback before the first round, and it was Jimmy Garoppolo in the second. So he could be looking in that second, third round range to try and find another candidate for the future, for the present and the future. And then, of course, you look at other quarterback situations around the league. Does some other team draft a quarterback that changes its feeling of the quarterbacks that already had in room? Do they now have a backup that they don't need anymore? So I think Bill Belichick, his history shows that he's patient. He waits out the market. He lets the bargains and the deals come to him. And at this point, I think right now it looks like Jared Stidham, but I think there's more story to be told here before the season, assuming we do have a season.
All right, Dan Graziano, terrific. Thank you very much. I'll check back with you as we go. And I wanted to show you here up on your screen the Patriots options at quarterback. I ran through it a little bit there in the essay, but you've got Hoyer, and you've got Jarrett Stidham. They released Cody Kessler last week. Hoyer was on the Colts last year, made the one start. Stidham, as we mentioned, threw just the four passes last year. I've got Dan Orlovsky and Marcus Spears with me here all morning long. Dan, how do you view the Patriots, their quarterbacks in particular, and overall the Patriots in general right now?
Yeah, Greeny, if Bill Belichick takes this team to the playoffs, it will be one of his greatest coaching accomplishments because this roster is devoid of talent. If we just stay in the division, Greeny, this is the weakest or at least most unproven quarterback room in the division. If you look at the division, this is the least talented skill position group in totality. Just in the AFC East, not even including the whole conference. And so, listen, the reality is that every team has been gunning for the New England Patriots for two decades. But the Patriots have always been fully equipped. And now they're weaker. Now they're, in many ways, have lost their identity. And in football or in sports in general, we're always taught when you see your opponent weak, you step on their throat. And so I can promise you, everybody who plays New England, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins, in their division, those teams are going to have a focus of trying to step on the Patriots' throats and bury them to, in some small way, erase the two decades of domination. So this is a weak team, and Bill Belichick has his work cut out for him.
I want to talk, Marcus, about Jarrett Stidham, whom you know well from his time in the SEC. And I'll just take you back 20 years. If I had said then, Tom Brady, at the exact same stage of his development that Stidham is now, if I had said this sixth-round pick out of Michigan they have sitting there is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time, you would have laughed hysterically at me and no one could have blamed you. You know Jared Stidham. We keep hearing Belichick likes him. How good is he? Can he be the answer?
Jarrett Stidham is really good, G, based on what he did in college and some games. But obviously, everybody talks about the sample size. But to your point, and it's something we talked about a couple weeks ago, we don't know if Jarrett Stidham is going to be a really good quarterback, an average quarterback, or a guy that they're going to be looking to replace here in the next few weeks after the season starts. So I sit here, just like we've been optimistic about a lot of other things, I believe Jarrett Stidham has the tools to be a good quarterback. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo, G. Like, we didn't know Jimmy Garoppolo would become a $100 million quarterback. He got his opportunity. He showed that he could play. And then, obviously, San Francisco came and traded for him. Jarrett Stidham is in that same vein. Matt Castle won 11 games. I'm not ready to say Bill Belichick doesn't have an idea of what he's doing yet.
You know who I've got with me? I have our draft insider extraordinaire. Todd McShay is with us. Good morning, McShay. I have a bunch of things I want to ask you. Let's run through them quickly. Let's start with Stidham. Take us back to a year ago. Do you project him to be a high-level NFL starting quarterback during his career? Do you think he can be the answer for Belichick long-term?
He was a great backup, in my opinion, coming out of college at Auburn, and had a chance to be developed into a starter. Now, you go back and you watch him against your Jets. They threw him in that game. He threw an interception. Bill got annoyed and pulled him out and put Tom Brady back in the game. They were up by about 50 points. So from everyone I talk to in the organization, they're excited about his development. He has so much potential. He is gifted. He's been through a lot in his life. He's got some character and some grittiness and toughness to him. but he's not ready yet. I mean, that's the bottom line. He is not ready to lead the New England Patriots, in my opinion. Brian Hoyer's there, and he's a really good backup, but they're going to have to make a decision on what to do in terms of, is it bringing in a veteran like Andy Dalton to kind of stem the tide between now and when Stidham is ready, or is it drafting another quarterback that they think is going to bring competition and potentially outplay Stidham at that number one quarterback position. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. But the one thing I know from talking to people inside the organization, it's all about patience and waiting to see how the market plays out and not jumping into something too early when they're not ready for it.
Fair. So in that vein, it seems very unlikely that they'll wind up with one of the four big quarterbacks that we're all talking about in this draft with Burrow and Tua and Herbert and Love. So who then comes next? If Bill wants to take a quarterback in the second round or the third round, Todd, who are we talking about?
Jacob Eason from Washington, who got beat out by Jake Fromm at Georgia, is the most talented of that second tier quarterback, I should say, in this year's class. He's big, he's strong-armed, he can make all the throws. I just don't see him being a fit. He mentally, I don't see him being in that quarterback room and being able to have those conversations that Tom Brady has had for, 15, 20 years with Bill Belichick. I think Jake Fromm makes a lot of sense, but he doesn't have the physical tools that you would ideally look for. But if you're going to bring in Andy Dalton, I would rather have Jake Fromm because he's the same guy physically and he's younger. And he understands the game at a high level. Of all the quarterbacks I've sat down and talked to in the last 2 years in college football, in the meeting room, like just getting to know them, watching them, listening to what they're saying in response to one play to the next, Jake Fromm is the smartest, most mature quarterback that I have been around in the last 2 years. So Fromm would make a lot of sense, even though physically he doesn't have the tools that you're looking for. And he's struggled in bad weather. And in New England, obviously, that's an issue.
And then, Dan, I'll circle it all the way back to you on the options for the veterans. We know the two guys that were free agents, and they both have, you know, well-known resumes. Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. Do either of them make sense to you? Quickly.
Not at all. If I'm the New England Patriots and my options are those two veterans or sticking with Jarrett Stidham, I'm absolutely sticking with Jarrett Stidham and giving him his chance to become the leader of our organization.
All right. Hey, Marcus Spears, again, I got 15. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think anyone fits. Look, the one thing that Bill Belichick preaches is taking care of the football. So that possibly eliminates Jameis. And Cam is just not a fit for the type of system that they run unless they're willing to blow it up and change everything.
All right, guys, stay with me. We're going to do a lot more as we continue here this morning on Get Up. And I want to remind you that tonight on ESPN, we'll continue our weekly look back at the greatest Monday night football games. This one was special. I was there. The first game back of the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. This was the game that had Steve Gleason's block punt against the Falcons. It really was sort of the beginning of the Drew Brees era in New Orleans. This was an incredible night. You'll see it tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Now, as we all wait and hope for sports to return, there is one sport that is preparing to play. We'll show you where that is and exactly what it looks like. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, I think it's important to see, give you a real sense of what we may be looking forward to. Also coming up, 6 years ago, Todd McShay had Odell Beckham as part of his all-satellite team before the NFL draft. We'll tell you who made that list this year. You'll see that from McShay coming up in a moment. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. And this one's for McShay, too. Which college player caught the most 25-yard touchdown passes over the last 2 seasons? That's the question. The answer's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom. What is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
There may be no games,
no practices,
No high fives.
But we're all still part of a team.
And we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance.
But still checking on each other.
Helping the most vulnerable.
And supporting our heroes.
That are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused.
But the best parts
are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part to help our team.
Right now.
We are back with you, and we thank you for getting up with us today. And I've got McShay, and I've got Sneaky Hembo. Here we go, Todd. Which college player caught the most 25-yard touchdowns over the last two seasons?
I'm going to go C.D. Lamb from Oklahoma. I don't have a clue.
He got it right. The correct answer is C.D. Lamb with a total of 15. McShay defeats Hembo. Look how surprised. Don't act surprised.
Nice.
Act like you absolutely knew it all.
No, I mean, there were a couple receivers in college football.
Well, Hembo doesn't believe you didn't know one way or another. McShay is here, and I have a feeling we may hear C.D. Lamb's name as a part of this, because McShay has released his annual all-satellite team this morning, which features the draft's best playmakers. And in the past, you see some of the names who've been on this team before. They include Lamar Jackson, one of his favorite targets, Hollywood Brown, last season's first overall pick, Kyler Murray, the great Odell Beckham Jr., and others, just to name a few. So very quickly, McShay, before we get to this year's list, give everyone a sense. What is the criteria to be on your all-satellite team?
Greeny, it's all about guys who can create in space. You know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out the terms of this. And we don't discriminate. It can be a cornerback. It can be a safety. It can be a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, any position. Over the years, we've had decent success with it, so we'll keep going.
Okay, so let's keep going. And let's start this year. The first name is one everyone will know as we get set for the draft, and that's Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs. He ran a disappointing 4.28 40-yard dash at the combine this year. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. And anyone who's ever run in the 4.2s and has been disappointed, you're crazy. But that's the kind of explosiveness that he has. And I love Ruggs because he's physical, he loves playing special teams, he'll block for you, and he didn't drop a pass the entire season. So he's not just one of those diva speedsters that you typically equate with that kind of top-end speed.
The next one is C.D. Lamb.
After that, C.D. Lamb. Yeah, Hembo, good try, buddy. Get me next time. C.D. Lamb is big. He's physical. He's great on contested catches. But what I love about him is the run after catch. That's what he does so well. And in the system in Oklahoma, he had great opportunities to be in space and to go create. But he bounces. He's like a pinball. He bounces off of defenders. And after that, Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. Get to know this guy's name. We're all talking about Jerry Jeudy and C.D. Lamb and Henry Ruggs as the top three receivers, and they deserve to be. But Ayuk is the fourth or fifth best receiver in the entire class, and he's great after the catch, and he's also an exceptional return specialist. So you're getting value at wide receiver and in the return game. And then finally, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, throw out everything you've ever thought about a Wisconsin running back. Jonathan Taylor's nothing like it. 3 years in a row, the only player in the history of college football to have 1,900-plus yards rushing. And if you just watch him on tape, the ability to make that one cut and go, he just explodes. And running away from Ohio State DBs, literally Ohio State DBs who are running in the 4.3s, 4.4s, I mean, he is a legit low 4.4 40-yard dash running back who, if he can protect the ball better and learn how to do a little bit better job of in pass protection, Jonathan Taylor is going to be a star in the league, just like he has been in college football. And for all of those carries and all those touches, he's been one of the most durable running backs in college football the last 3 years.
Yeah, he's pretty physical, too, for a kid as fast as he is. Those of us who watch the Big Ten certainly have been seeing him for years. So there's the all-satellite team. Ruggs, Lamb, Ayuk, and Taylor. Outstanding. McShay, we'll continue with you as we work our way towards the draft. Now to something I've been looking forward to all morning. Sneaky big news. The KBO is South Korea's professional baseball league. They're back. They are televising inter-squad scrimmages with no fans in attendance. You see the players, many of them are wearing masks as they play. They have an exhibition schedule set to begin on April 21st. There is a tremendous amount of detail in a piece that was filed for ESPN.com today by our Jeff Passan. And I think this is really important because it is a look at what sports may look like when we finally, whenever it is, that we get them back here. What more can you share with our audience here, Jeff, about the KBO and their preparation for their season?
You know, Greeny, I talked with Dan Straley, who was with the Oakland A's and Cincinnati Reds, Miami Marlins and Baltimore Orioles. He signed a one-year deal with the Lotte Giants this offseason. And he goes down to Australia where they have training camp and the coronavirus outbreak happens. And they can't go back up to Korea for at least a couple of extra weeks. But by the time they get up there, Korea, South Korea, had done a really good job of containing the outbreak. And so while the season got pushed back from a scheduled March 28th start, they are on pace to play exhibition games against other teams on April 21st. They're going to play six exhibition games, and if all goes well there and nobody tests positive, no players, no R&D people, no people cleaning the clubhouses, they are going to start games that next week, and we can see actual baseball, albeit with no fans in the stands.
Yeah, there's no fans. What other precautions are we talking about? We see in that video, and I really wanted to show it for the fans who are watching here. We see many of the players, if not all of them, wearing masks, no fans in the stands. What sorts of precautions are we talking about, Jeff?
That's interesting, Greeny, because as Dan was telling me, the players were wearing masks because one of their teammates had a fever, a very slight fever, just a little bit over 99 degrees, and they were taking every precaution necessary to ensure that they did not catch something he might have had. Now, he was not COVID positive, and there are some players who were complaining that it was difficult to breathe with the mask, so in an inter-squad game after that, they did not play with them, but masks on the field, no fans in the stands. All of this can be a reality. And one story that really stuck with me that Dan Straley and others over there were telling is just how often they're getting their temperatures taken. Now, I understand that there are asymptomatic carriers and that temperature is not the only thing, but they have a body scanner that takes your temperature as you walk into the stadium with the Lotte Giants.
So again, just quickly, they plan on playing, they're playing exhibitions that will be televised and then planning on starting their season in just the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's the plan. And listen, as much as it gives hope to baseball coming back in the United States, to all sports coming back in the United States, we have to recognize the incredible job South Korea did mitigating the virus there. This is the important difference between the two countries that I think a lot of people may look and say, oh, well, there's sports over there. Why aren't there sports here? It's because South Korea has done such an excellent job of keeping coronavirus out of its country, or at least keeping the numbers low.
Yeah, the Chinese Basketball Association has pushed back. Baseball in Japan has been pushed back, but in Korea, they're very close to having it back on the field. And again, I wanted to show that video so folks can see that might be a peek at what sports will look like here when they do return. Jeff, that's really well done. The piece is on ESPN.com. Meanwhile, this is Masters Week, and even though there is no tournament, we are still going to take you back to Augusta for some of the greatest moments in Masters history. Starting Wednesday, 1:30 Eastern, we'll show you the par 3 contest from a few years ago, which was highlighted by Jack Nicklaus's grandson making an ace. Bubba Watson on Thursday, you'll see his first win. You'll see Tiger's record-breaking performance. You'll see Friday, you'll see Adam Scott, and then Tiger's unforgettable chip-in on 16. Great Masters memories this week on ESPN. As we continue here today, Kobe Bryant headlining this year's Basketball Hall of Fame class. Is it the best group ever? Charles Barkley answers that question and more as he joins us coming up. Get up on ESPN.